up.
Blog Talk Radio.
Happy New Year, the first show of 2022. Oh my goodness, I'm getting older, but I'm getting prettier. Happy New Year, guys. We have Scotty, Carrie, 313, Jimmy. Let's see, who did I leave off? Anybody?
Carrie?
I said Carrie.
Oh.
I wouldn't forget Carrie.
Sorry.
Come on, get that right. 313, let me get 313. Here's Adrian. First show of 2022, and it's going to be a good one, I think, because the rumor is that UAW is planning on popping the big stick in your butt this week and making everybody get a shot. And I don't know if that's true, but that's what I've been reading.
Where have you been reading that at?
JJ, he's got some connections to Solidarity House, and he said a little birdie told him they will be announcing something this week. I don't know.
I know they were asked for that.
Somebody's breaking up. Who's breaking up?
You know, they were asked to support that, Scott, but far as I know, they had not.
Okay, that's Jimmy. Jimmy, say that again. You broke up.
Last I knew, the UAW was telling them they wanted them to support the big companies being mandated. But I am, far as I know, I'm with Scott. I believe that's still in federal court hands. And actually, last I heard, I thought he was kind of like backing away with putting any mandate on it.
Well, you know, it isn't a law, but I guess the companies are threatening people, as you know. So I don't know if UAW and General Motors and Chrysler and Ford got together and said, hey, stick it to the worker. I don't know. But let me tell you something.
I think what you're in reference to, Scott, almost sounds like what he is in reference to is how some of the states went from the 10-day to the 5-day.
Yeah.
That's what it almost sounds like, you know, because a lot of them did that. But Michigan stood their ground on that. I believe we stayed at 10, did we not?
Well, CDC said went to 5 days.
But our governor state said it's at 10.
Okay. Yeah, well,
yes, our governor said we're going to stay where we at.
So states' rights, and there you go. And but if you've been following the Supreme Court, I have been, what I can find of it. Sonia Sotomayor, is that how you pronounce your name, Sotomayor?
Sotomayor, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said it right. She says she came out with a statement Friday. She said, we have over 100,000 children and in serious condition, many on ventilators. That's not true. And I dug into this and went to CDC. This is not even close to being true.
That's
right. In the United States, there's 4,000 children right now in the hospital, and only, they said 13 were on ventilators, but they have underlying conditions.
It was 1,300 were on ventilators, and that's still a lot.
1,300 on. Yeah, well, yeah, any time a kid's on ventilators, but that's not true. I don't know where you got
right.
That. I'm going by what the government's telling us.
Yeah, the CDC, she was on the Meet the Press this morning, whoever. Somebody was trying to badger her into saying that the judge was in the wrong, but it was a point of being maybe overcautious, but he was looking more for a political wrong, so which I don't agree to, especially with the kids.
No, they should not make this political. And unless they changed it this morning, it was only 13 or 14 on ventilators, and they all had asthma. And there was 4,000 in the hospital that had COVID. And that was as of yesterday and last night, actually, after I got off doing the show last night. So she's already coming out, and they're telling, I don't know where in the hell they're getting this information, but it is false. It's 4,000 children in the hospital. That's it. And that's the latest, and I just got this off my printer, and that's the latest. But you know, if they're going to start, you got Supreme Court justices lying, coming out lying, saying falsehoods. What do you think they're going to vote for? They're going to vote for a mandate. Sounds to me.
Right.
And hold on. Somebody, Jerry, sent me this. He's a retiree, and I'll tell you in a minute where in the hell he's from. Oh, shoot. What did I do with that paper? Hold on. Iowa. He lives in Iowa. Jerry lives in Iowa. He's a 602 retiree. He said the labor commissioner has announced the state will not enforce Biden's administration's vaccine mandate meant for businesses with over 100 workers or more. So that's from the commissioner of labor in Iowa. Thank you, Jerry, for sending me that. Appreciate it. Okay, kids, take it away.
Can I say something about the mandate?
Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
I don't know why everyone seems to cut off the part that says vaccinated or weekly testing.
Yeah, they do
always
that.
Cut off that weekly testing.
Yes, they do. You're right.
And
I don't understand
that.
I guess the biggest bitch about that right now, Adrian, would be nobody can seem to get the test kits from what I hear.
I guess
yeah.
not. If DeSantis let all of those test kits expire and they have to throw them away. So
yeah,
how many other?
Did that. There was, what, Florida was one, and I don't know where the other one
Hold
was.
On. Is it my, my stuff breaking up, or is everybody breaking up? What's going on?
I don't know. You're not breaking up as far as I know.
Okay.
I can hear you clear.
But
no,
I just don't understand that.
Yeah,
no,
I hear you. I don't understand either, but it wasn't it Florida that had a bunch expire? And I don't want to say it was California, but there was two states that had a massive amount of them that just went, like you said, expired.
In October, the government was supposed to order, and they canceled the order, and they because they didn't see this coming. Nobody did. It's, you know, they just didn't see it. And no, it's not Biden's fault. He can't run every goddamn thing.
Well, that's
but,
true.
Yeah. And it's, whoever, I can't remember the man. He's a woman, but he was a man. She came out in a testimony at a hearing. No.
About Bruce?
No.
The Surgeon General.
Yeah, the Assistant Surgeon General of the United States, I believe. She came out and said that, they didn't drop the ball, but they didn't see this coming. So they canceled the order. Now the order is back in for millions and should be soon, getting them soon. So. We'll see what happens.
Wow.
Right. And if you listen to Fauci the other day, he said that he foresees this all, this spike dropping drastically now within the next 4 to 6 weeks. That's what Fauci said. He said we'll have a corner turned on this in 4 to 6 weeks.
Well, I hope he's right.
It'll be back by Easter big and strong.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of information out there, and I think the Washington Post, I think, went after the Chief Justice, or Justice, when she gives some numbers, and they did some fact checks, and they said that her numbers were flawed. And that was coming from one of the other larger newspapers. So I'm just saying, you know, it's caught some flack for it. And I think she apologized.
Yeah.
So
I didn't know that. Did she did come out and apologize?
I think I read that earlier today somewhere that she thinks that the information she was given was false.
People,
I mean,
that,
that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, but people that aren't in the medical field and you're a judge and you're listening to a case, you ought to shut your mouth. I don't care who you are. Shut up. Just listen to the court, what's in your court, and leave it alone.
Right.
Don't get there and start spouting off numbers you don't know anything about. And there was a, I can't remember the guy that was put in by Bush. I can't remember his name, but he came out acting like a fool too. So both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, yep. So, as we start out in 2022, all sorts of important things to talk about. I think, you know, we're going to be looking at the Constitutional Convention in June. I think that's something that needs to be talked about.
July.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought it was June. I apologize.
All right, Scotty.
Yeah. We need to.
It's normally
really
held in June, though, Scotty. So.
Yeah. And don't forget.
It has elections
coming up too, right?
Right.
Important.
Delegates.
Just for the delegates. I think next year will be the, like, for CHOP chairman, president, stuff like that.
Yeah, but
I believe
what's important now this year is the delegates. Am I right?
That's
correct.
Do not vote for anybody that's been elected to office, please. Think about
that.
Don't
vote for anybody that's went there. Send everybody that's new to the convention. In fact, people, you want to educate yourself? Get off your hiney and you run.
Yes.
Your local. Go down there yourself. See for yourself what we're bitching about, people. Come on.
Yep.
I don't even vote for appointees. No appointees either.
Nope.
You're right. Adrian's right.
You want people who are going to represent you, who work with you, so they will not buy into the song and dance, the pony show, whatever you want to call it. You want people off the floor who know what the working conditions are, because this is also going to lead into your next contract.
Yes.
This is very important that you send
good
delegates.
And I believe this is going to be one of the most important votes you're going to have.
Yes.
This year right now. Let me get our buddy Paul on. Happy New Year, Paul.
And to all of you.
Happy New Year.
Don't vote for anybody that's fed at the trough.
There you go.
Vote for the people that have been victims of these bad contracts we've had. People who know what it's like to try to stay asleep at 3 o'clock in the morning, driving home, and the plant's been closed, and they've had to take a transfer. Vote for people who have worked in 3 or 4 plants. Vote for the people that have suffered on the floor along with you.
Amen.
What made you so successful when you ran, I always thought, and another person, I'm going to call her just Hubcat Mary, was when you guys did get to the convention, you came back, you put out a handbill, and you told everybody in the plant, in your own words, what the hell happened at the convention We need more of that reporting back, and we need the balls and the crap. Did I say that? Yes, we need the people that say the truth and express their vote. I mean, that's why we sent you there, was to be our mouthpiece. Come back and tell us what the hell you heard.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't vote for anybody who likes the current program. You know, the people that have told you to vote for these crappy contracts, and when they bite you in the hind end, they say to you, well, you voted for it. You know, the thing is, you need people that have the experience of being a worker.
Right.
That know what it's like to deal with speed up, to know what it's like to be 50 or 60 years old, not be able to get off the line to take a whiz. You know, that's what you need, the people that have the real-life experience, the stuff that really counts. The convention is an opportunity to send people that will speak up for you, that will address your concerns. I mean, your appointees, your elected people, they don't give two hoots about work pace.
No, they don't.
They don't care that the job is grinding you down year by year, that you're working in pain or on Tylenol. You know, we need to really reverse the course we've been taking. And I really wonder if we should go after, what is it, paragraph 8 in the national agreement that says management has the right to do whatever they want. If school teachers had a similar contract, we'd hardly have any teachers. Management would just say, we're going to replace you with TV sets. And every 15 minutes, you go into a different classroom, turn on another television, and let the television teach the kids.
Right.
And that's basically the course we've taken in the auto industry now. We don't need workers in the body shop. All we need is 200 robots and 2 electricians to babysit them.
Yeah. That's exactly right. That is so right.
Yep. So it's important we elect coworkers off the floor to go to the Constitutional Convention.
Or possibly an ornery retiree that's mad
and
pissed away everything they fought for.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. He has some experience of what we used to have, what we could have again.
Yep.
Absolutely.
We got another 734 number. I mean, get 734, you're on.
Hello, everybody. It's JJ.
Hey, JJ.
Hey,
I thought that was you.
Hi, JJ.
Well, now, was that you, JJ, that was writing on the... UAW worker, what was it? Factory Whistle Forum, I think that's what it's called.
The board.
Board.
About the international changing their stance on supporting mandates that's coming down the pipe. Yeah, that was me.
Okay. I was telling people where I got this information, so why don't you let everybody know what's going on?
Oh, well, there was, I heard from international contact that the UAW plans on changing their stance on mandates. Some of our representatives have lost family members due to COVID, and so now have made an emotional decision to support mandates for the vaccine. And so it looks like they're going to be bargaining on that and supporting the mandates, but there has been no word about any details whatsoever. Just know that it's coming, and of course, knowing them, there probably won't be any fact sheets or question and answers, questions answered by them, especially considering the fact that the vaccine doesn't work. You get the polio vaccine, you don't get polio.
Right.
You get the COVID vaccine, you still get COVID. And you still spread COVID. So there's no details on what they're going to bargain for, or, you know, what the testing regimen will be, that none of that. There's absolutely no information available on what they intend to do or bargain for, just that they're going to change their stance and that we should be prepared for it.
Yeah.
How many people have died from that have contracted COVID working in a plant?
I haven't heard.
They don't report those numbers. They're not required. That's what's so sad. Even among their workers that test positive, nowhere have I ever been able to find out where those numbers go outside that plant.
That's a crock of shit.
As far as we know, nobody's died from contracting COVID within the plant. How many plants?
You don't get it here.
Right. So there's no reason to have a vaccine if you can't get it working in the plant.
That's
but
right.
But the thing is, though, is they don't report on any numbers. Even people that work around hazardous materials that die of cancer,
right?
There's no numbers on how many people die from cancer from work or none of that. I just find it kind of appalling that they're just going to come out and say, yep, we support it, vaccinations for everybody, when they know damn well that the membership is torn. The numbers that I'm hearing, it's pretty split down the middle as far as supporting mandates. And from personal experience, from talking to, particularly skilled trades at two different plants, at least the numbers that I count from the guys that I've talked to, 60% of skilled trades is dead against it.
Yeah. That's because they actually read and get on the internet and find out there's loads of people out there that have gotten sick, or women who've lost pregnancies, or people who've had strokes after having the vaccine.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I've got family and friends that have taken the vaccine.
Sure.
I don't want the vaccine. I have very strong feelings about that because of my experience from Desert Storm and the experimental testing that the government did on my brothers and sisters during Desert Storm. But, you know, I believe in everybody's right to do what they feel is best for them.
That's right.
And I support people's individual rights. And the thing is that nobody's been talking about the fact that OSHA has had in the books since 1979 a regulation, law, whatever you want to call it, right, that states in there that the only protection that OSHA approves to protect workers from airborne pathogens, and this is an airborne pathogen, right? The only approved method is the use of a respirator.
Right.
So, for all of a sudden for them to change that after the science has been there for, you know, the testing, all the industrial hygiene testing that they've done, and what happens in hospitals, because, you know, I used to work in a hospital, and for very infectious diseases, they wear more than just a little surgical mask to protect themselves from airborne pathogens.
Right.
So,
well, people have said follow the money in the past. Well, when you give out billions of vaccines, somebody's going to make a ton of money.
Oh, they are.
But
But
the thing is, everything that OSHA has done to protect workers in the workplace are external safeguards that we can remove when we leave work.
Yeah.
This is unprecedented. And like I said, there's already things on the books to protect workers from airborne pathogens. Why aren't they following or supporting that? So our international is either very, very ignorant of safety and OSHA regulations, or they're being influenced by their emotion and or financial influences to support this.
Right. It's interesting to know who is heavily invested in Pfizer and some of these companies. When you figure that being fully vaccinated is, you know, it's two vaccines, and then they're saying a booster, and now they're talking about a second booster, and that'll be a yearly booster. I mean, somebody stands to make a fortune. Because this isn't, these policies are not driven by science or rationalism.
You're right, because this morning our daughter used to work for Beaumont, and she was forced to get the vaccine, and Beaumont's boasting about how all of their employees are vaccinated, right?
Yeah.
And this morning, reading the article, the Beaumont healthcare system in the Detroit area has over 400 workers out on COVID, and all their workers are vaccinated.
Right.
So how is the mandate on vaccines going to keep us from getting COVID?
Sounds like
how strange is that?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, over 400.
Yeah.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
I find the most ironic thing about the whole deal, it seems to be the people who hated Donald Trump the most are the ones that want everybody to get his vaccine. It wasn't considered safe until he was out of office by some of these people.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I remember that too. We're not taking it because it's Donald Trump. Now that's all they want you to do is take it.
Yeah. Kamala stated she wouldn't take the Trump vaccine.
Oh, yeah, I know. I got that tape.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've never been a big fan. I've made it very clear that I've never been a big fan of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Of course, I've always made it very clear that I've never been a big fan of any politics.
Yeah.
Because we as workers and the people of this country have lower buying power than we've had in the modern labor movement history. So none of them working for us as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's our union that's supposed to fight for us. It wasn't Donald Trump or the politicians that bargained our union contracts. It wasn't any of our politicians that gave away our pension plan, gave away health care on retirement. It wasn't our politicians that decided that, you know, the next generation could work for half the amount of money that the previous generation did, or they could give up most of their protections against work speed-ups and job classifications. One thing I don't like is hypocrisy. I can see why people could not stand Donald Trump. I don't have any problem with whoever people vote for, but I don't like it when there's one standard for my guy and then different standard for another guy. You know, like the vaccine was no good until Donald Trump was out of office, and now they're trying to push it on everybody. That's crap.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. I can't stand hypocrisy either.
Yeah.
Boy, there's plenty of it.
But anyway, that's all the news that I heard.
Right.
And you can read Kate's post. He even swore he dropped some F-bombs in his, he was a little fired up this morning.
Who was that?
Yeah.
You, JJ. That's your, I'm sorry, that was Pa. JJ was a little fired up.
Oh.
Yeah, I was a little fired up. I think that it's disgusting that when you know that your membership is torn at the, on a issue, I think the only fair thing to do is to stand up for the rights of all individuals and let them have their right to choose. And to go against that, I think, is shows very poor representation and poor support of your all of your members. And, I think that it shows a lack of fair representation for all, and I think that if and when they do come down with this, I think I may file charges against them.
Well, like I said, as far as any mandates go, we'll have to see what the Supreme Court rules. They're hearing two cases. One was a big case. One was a minor case. Had to do with people who get monies for Medicare and Medicaid in Ohio, whether they had to receive the shot or not. But the big one will be whether the federal government can force employers with over 100 employees to make a mandatory vaccine or a shot. And I'll remember Dick Danjan once said that the union, whether it be international or local, can never abrogate your state or your federal laws, ever. So,
you know,
another
interesting thing, since you mentioned money, my wife's girlfriend, her husband works for the railroad, and apparently the railroad company is getting $2,000 for every person that is vaccinated. The company gets $2,000 for every employee that's vaccinated.
Sure. There's more involved in that than you know. Hospitals are included in that gift.
Oh, I'm sure. Like I said, this, they're saying the vaccine is being administered for free. Sure it is. But the taxpayers are paying for it.
Right.
Nothing's free. I mean, we all of us are old enough to know how this shell game gets played. Come on, now.
Yep.
You know,
I got
we
a question.
Like it or not.
Any of you guys see that Gallup poll that came out the third week of December? Discussing union stuff, it was really interesting. I found that 68% of the people in this poll of 25,000 people approved of workers being unionized. Support was even higher among 18 to 34-year-olds. It was 71% want to be in a union.
Wow.
But think about it. Your Starbuck workers in Buffalo, New York this year in December became the first coffee chain to unionize. Yet still the gap between you, there's only 12.1% of us that are unionized in this country. There's still another 48% that want to unionize. And all this data I'm reading you is from 2017, but it wasn't released until last month. What's holding us back? The outdated labor laws we have, and I don't want to say this, but our own representatives many times have shot us in the foot when it comes to labor laws. And the right to work bullshit is right there. And take it away, Don, whoever, but I'm done with it. Take it away. Those are numbers.
I've got some. Let me get some people on. 7-3, where'd everybody go? Hang on here. 816, that's Missy. Missy.
Hey, guys.
Hi, sweetie. We got a Skype number. coming on, and we have 577 coming on. No. I'm sorry. Back. Okay.
Oh, this is the Skype number. This is Joe, fellas. How are you? Hello, Melissa, Adrian, Donnie.
Hey, hello,
Joe. You that I don't know.
Hey,
well,
Joe.
You guys are talking
hey,
about.
Joe.
Hey. You guys are talking about the vaccine. Cool. I called in to ask Donnie if he wanted to have a show Monday or Tuesday, if he wants to. I'm going to have one, but while I was waiting, there was a caller there who was talking about he may sue. Let me give you some good news. And I related this on Donnie's show a couple of times. On the Alex Jones Show on the December 8th, 2021 podcast, he had on two whistleblowers from the from OSHA. They have won cases in court against the mandate. They were responsible for at least one or two judges telling Biden that that mandate of his was illegal. Couldn't do it. Also, for the caller that said that he may sue, they won cases in court and about people suing. In other words, if your employer wants you to take the vaccine, right, as a prerequisite for employment or to stay employed, you can tell him or her, if I come down with even the sniffles, I am going to sue you. And these two whistleblowers said it has shaken up in court. In other words, and people have won in court. So if you tell your employer that, and he and you let him know, hey, Pally, you know, your contemporaries have lost in court, I think you're going to lose if I sue you. Are you still going to want me to be vaccinated? He might have a second thought about it. So, again, the December 8th, 2021 Alex Jones Show, they got some very good news. Now, not to interrupt the show too much, Donnie, you want a show Monday, Tuesday, whenever you're free?
Yeah, Monday night would be fine with me.
Okay.
For 2 hours. Can't be
you got
more
it.
Okay.
9 o'clock?
It's you. 9 o'clock? Is that what time you want it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, guys. 9 o'clock. If you guys want to come, 9 Eastern time, I'll be the host of Donnie's show. We'll be talking about the vaccine and other stuff. In the meantime,
nope.
Rest of you guys be safe. Goodbye, guys. Melissa, Adrian, Donnie, take care.
All right, Joe.
See
bye.
You. Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Brother Joe. From out west there. Go ahead, guys.
So, like I said, well, the union is not allowed to abrogate our federal or state rights given to us. So I think we'll have to wait and see what the Supreme Court rules on this and go from there. And with some information that Joe gave us, some more ammunition for those who don't want to get the shot. And I agree with JJ. It's your personal right, your beliefs, whatever you feel you need to do for you, you do.
That's right.
I'll leave it at that. I mean, I tested positive on Monday. I'm dealing with it. I feel like I got a real bad head and chest cold. It's kind of tired. And, you know, it's not a walk in the park, but, you know, knock on wood, I haven't had to go to the hospital or nothing, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, it is what it is. I've been watching stuff. Like I said, Fauci just came out here in the last couple of days. If I can find the article, I'd try to find it. But he did say we are going to be turning the corner on this whole thing soon because of the rapid spread that it has. And now
yeah.
We have a combination of the Delta and the Omicron variant that's mixed up together, they said. And we have a new variant. It's called the IHU. And then we also have the what they call the Fluocron. It's a flu and the Omicron together at the same time. So there's variations out there. But either way, this stuff is spreading rapidly. And Fauci himself said that we'll be turning the corner on this thing here soon. And that's the best news we can hope for. other than that, in the last couple of weeks, change the subject real quick. Did anybody catch that big snowstorm that went down through the to the East Coast?
95.
Yes, ma'am.
Highway 95.
Yes, ma'am. In Virginia.
In Virginia.
Shut down 15 miles of highway both directions. They told people that this snow was coming. They told people, don't be out on the roads. They told people while it was snowing, putting these warnings out on AM and FM radio. They kept telling people, don't do this. And they end up getting stuck. And if I have to think about the last time that's happened, it's been, I want to say 5 years ago, 6 years ago maybe, that happened. And they showed they got almost 2 foot of snow in the mountains. That wet, heavy stuff. And it shut miles and miles and miles of the highway down. And people just walked off and left their vehicles sitting there. Semis, vans, cars, SUVs, doesn't matter. Which I don't think would be the wisest thing to do myself. But they did. So I posted something in Workers' Workplaces and Unions. And if I can get to it. So somebody come back and they said something to me. They had a response. And they showed, somebody made the basically was, if you have a vehicle and you were on this part of I-95 and your battery ran down, well, you're not going to be able to stay warm and you're not going to be able to go anywhere. Your vehicle has now basically become like a roadblock. But they, you know, that's what the caption said. As far as if, you know, if that happened, you know what I mean? And somebody come out and they responded to that and they said, well, what's the difference if you had a diesel or a gasoline vehicle? And I said, the response that I give them was, if I ran out of diesel or ran out of gasoline, I could pour that back in the vehicle and start the vehicle back up and move it. You know, I guess my point is people aren't realizing what's going to happen with all these electric vehicles. You know what I mean? And that's just an instance.
Especially if you've never drove down I-95.
Right.
Where would they put all of the grid, the stations for you to charge your cars up?
Right. Or 77, right?
Right.
Anywhere to the mountains. Anywhere to those mountains. You know, and I know Don and Jim, they both traveled those roads quite a bit, you know, in the past. Yeah. But that was just the thought, you know, that I was thinking on this, and because there's a big push now for the electric vehicles. Very big push, and we'll talk about that here in a second too. But excuse me. Here it is. Here's the article. Imagine in half the cars in the traffic jam on I-95 in Virginia last night were electric vehicles, and half of those were to run out of battery power. All those people would be stuck in a freezing temperature without a heated vehicle. All the cars would be stuck, unable to move because you can't bring a charging station to them. In effect, all those electric cars would become roadblocks to the gasoline-powered vehicles. Just something to think about when you hear politicians pushing electric vehicles over gasoline and diesel. It's not about the environment. It's about their wallets. So that's one viewpoint to look at it. So I mean, with electric vehicles right now, you know, it's a big push. Ford says they've got so many orders that they can't take any more orders until they start building some of these. General Motors is releasing their electric vehicle, the Silverado, Rivian or whatever, however you want to pronounce it. They've already brought one out, and it's getting rave reviews. Ram is promising to bring one out, and they said it'll be worth the wait when it hits. It'll be spectacular. So Chevy put one out, and now this is Canadian prices. So this is GM Authority that this article is from. So you got to understand when you hear Canadian money, it sounds a lot. It's less for the American money. I didn't go through and do the math, but I'm just saying. But the article says that the new the Chevy Silverado EV will start at $54,398 in Canada. And it'll be a fleet-focused work truck trim levels, including $1,950 in destination freight charges. Okay, so I hope you're all setting down. And this is Canadian money, so I'm going to tell you, this is still a lot of money American goes. They said that the loaded Chevy Silverado EV RST first edition will start at $121,898 with the destination included. They said, so for U.S. pricing, the U.S. pricing, the Chevy Silverado work truck trim will start at $41,595, including another $1,950 for destination freight charges, while the loaded version of the Chevy Silverado EV RST First Edition starts at, $106,695. Oh, gee. I think we'll all go out and order two of those, right? $106,000 for a truck.
I'm whining about my $57,000 one.
Right. 400 mile an hour range.
An electric car, that pisses you off.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys, but I can't see people going out lining up and buying hundreds of thousands of these trucks, whether it's a Ford or a Ram or a Chevy Silverado electric vehicle. I mean, we know what these prices are going to be real close to each other in prices. You know what I mean?
Do they really want you to buy them, or do they really want you to lease them?
That's another good question. That's another good question.
They really want
like
you to lease
the EV1. Yeah, like they do with the EV1.
And there will
you know?
Be people out there leasing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And
but I'd like to recommend that you put a trailer hitch on the back and have a gas-powered car that you're pulling.
So you don't get stuck or stranded.
That's right.
Or pull your little diesel generator with you so you can charge your vehicle.
There you go.
About what you said about 95, because I have my friends out. Remember I told you about my friends in San Diego? They sold their Teslas because they couldn't drive from San Diego all the way to Vegas in the summertime with the AC on, because they could only go 2.5 hours on the charge with the AC on. Think about them sitting on the side of the road trying to get heat in that electric car.
Yeah, right? I was going to with that long stretch with nothing there but desert.
GM Authority also reported that Chevy tipped their hand at the CES show. Today that they're going to put out the Chevy Equinox. It will be in production in fall of 2023 with an estimated starting price of around $30,000. So the push is on, folks. The push is on for this. And in the meantime, you know, you still have other things that are going on. General Motors got hit with a new 8-speed automatic transmission lawsuit. That they're fighting. It's a class action lawsuit with the faulty 8-speed automatic transmissions. It says it can slip, buck, kick, jerk, harshly engaged, suffer abnormal internal wear, sudden acceleration, delay in downshift, delayed acceleration, difficulty stopping a vehicle, and eventually require a replacement of the transmission or its components. So that's going on. So if you have a 2015 through 2019 Cadillac Escalade, ATS, ATS-V, CTS, CTS-V, CT6, Chevy Silverado, a Chevrolet Colorado, a Chevrolet Corvette, Camaro, Canyon, a GMC Sierra, or a Yukon or Yukon XL, those vehicles could be affected.
It will save 30 minutes of Scott going through all this. Just call your dealership.
Here's another
okay.
one.
You were struggling, buddy.
This one. When Mary Barra come on staff, it wasn't much long after that. She said she didn't give a shit about market share. The
That's
old
right.
man, Richard Dane, said that was a bad thing. I don't know if you people saw what happened last week, but guess what? General Motors stepped down off the platform, and Toyota is now number one in the United States of America. They own the market share.
In our market. You know, the thing is, neither her nor Roger Smith understood this. When you lose all your customers, you're going to lose your profitability.
Right.
Roger Smith said he didn't care about market share. All he cared about was gross profit per vehicle.
Yep.
You can have a high gross profit per vehicle if all you do is sell Cadillacs.
Yep.
But if you want to continue to have customers, you got to sell vehicles that fit in every niche.
Right.
That's right. Absolutely right. That's
I mean, when you look at these price tags, How is the kid that just got out of college with $80,000 in debt and a $12 an hour job going to buy one of those vehicles?
Well, I don't have a
right.
clue.
That's why young people are turning pro-union. They see that they've been lied to about, you know, you go to college, get a good education, you'll get a good paying job.
Right.
You know, it's not happening.
Right. And speaking of jobs, I'm glad you said that, Paul, because there was an article that was put out this last week.
Mm-hmm.
General Motors is using more of its Oshawa plant now than it has in decades. The Oshawa complex is over 10 million square feet. So people get an idea how big that is. You know, our complex is over 3 million. So it's huge.
That is
yeah.
huge.
So what they're doing is they have begun producing the 2022 Chevy Silverado HD, and soon they're going to begin the light duty Chevy Silverado 1500 as well.
And also, Scott, make note of that. This is all being done with temp workers and tier two only. That was the agreement to bring that work back over there. People need to know how we were sold out again. And I'm not bitching at the Canadian people either. Trust me, it's just the greed of the corporation I want to point out.
Well, we forced
right.
Canadians into that position. They tried to act like a union for years. That's why they departed from the UAW. And the thing is that I can't understand for the life of me why our union leaders don't fight to get back some of this work that was outsourced.
Right.
They own them companies. They own them little sweatshops. I mean, my God, in Detroit, every plant manager that left Gear and Axle wound up with a plant over, we called it Bullard Alley on the west side of town. But hell, that's where all our small part work went because anything that was under, I think it was 7 pounds, we couldn't bid on the shit there because we went by weight, where Metal Fab went by inches.
Right. Well, the thing is, they've had a, they've had a long-term plan to destroy the UAW's through outsourcing. When we no longer have jobs, we don't have a union. I mean, look at everything they've outsourced. You know, just for instance, looking at the truck plant, used to build frames in-house, used to do sub-assembly in-house, used to have an Elpo system in-house, used to build seats. We've been progressively eliminated with no resistance from the UAW International.
None whatsoever.
All the strikes that took place in the 1990s while Stephen Jokic was president, he let a lot of locals go out on strike, but they were really going out on strike over issues international should have been fighting. You know, the progressive loss of jobs.
And another thing, Paul, we went on strike for maybe 1 or 2 days, 3 days, and right back to work because we got what we wanted and we didn't get anything.
Yeah.
They give it to you over here and take it away over here.
Right, right. I mean, the union doesn't have any positive vision at all. They're just kind of circling the wagons while management progressively eliminates us.
Yeah, and that's why they're going after teachers and nurses and every other niche they can get into to keep the UAW alive.
And all those other people need to take a careful look at what's going on within the automotive sector because, you know, management doesn't matter what sector they're in. If they see something that's working successfully in another sector, they're gonna bring in the same practices. They'll bring in speed up, they'll bring in jointness, they'll bring in outsourcing. Just like I said, if the teachers went along with it, they'd just be eliminated by television sets. There's your new technology, the kind of stuff they're using against us.
Yeah.
Well, that's hopefully. You know, I'm looking forward to and I'm very optimistic about having direct elections now. And I'm excited to see what kind of new candidates we're going to get. And hopefully we'll have some with good platforms that will be focused on transparency and real, honest, tangible reforms that benefit the members and that aren't political, you know, that focus on labor, what we all have in common.
Well,
unify our organization again instead of being so divided and get rid of the tears and go after those that have wronged us and you know, really turn this around. So I'm excited. I'm hopeful. Because I'm definitely not voting for any of the current administration at all.
Sure.
Especially
no.
Chuck
Me neither.
Brown.
We need to make sure that we can campaign.
You need to start paying attention. If you're paying attention, you got them. That one caucus, and you know what I'm talking about. There's a bunch of the administration caucus that went over to them guys, and they're trying to play the chameleon. You guys need to investigate who's who. I'm not going to go to their meeting and give them $50 to voice my freaking opinion. Where's the union equality in that? Come on, somebody, speak up. Chris, call in to me. Talk to me, guys. If you're going to act like you're so much for the people, act like the people. Don't want my damn money. I mean, I'm talking about the UAWD. You read the shit in labor notes this month, people? You guys need to start paying attention to what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then SWS is backing them, too. Hell, they're acting like they're the ones that did this whole thing, direct voting. In fact, you know, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have got this done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, You know what? They're a joke. They take a story from somebody else, their own socialist crap in it, and they call it theirs. Oh, they're a joke.
A few people, they got Gary Walkovitz has joined up with them. You know,
oh.
You got a few people out there.
Don't get me started.
I'm not trying to get anybody started. I'm trying to get people to start getting a little pissed off and saying, hey, I'm going to get Volker in my own union and I'm going to run for office or I'm going to run for convention delegate. People, that's the only way this is going to change. I can't run no more because I don't work in the plant. I'm sorry.
And tell
you
us
people
what your issue is.
You want something good, get off your ass and go get it.
Go ahead, Adrian.
That's the word I like. Tell us what your issue is so you can take my issue that I want to talk about and use it as your campaign rhetoric.
Now, who are we
That's
talking
real interesting
about?
To me.
Who are we talking about? Or what are... I
well,
just
we're
got...
talking about a new caucus.
Oh, a new caucus. Okay.
Has developed. And as Jimmy said, $50 for a membership fee.
No,
that was to go to their meeting today. If
oh, today?
I want to go to their
Why?
Meeting and put my input in, I got to pay $50. And then they're having another
to their
one.
Meeting.
This one for another $50.
That's not true.
Oh, Lord.
Jimmy, isn't there dues $25? Don't they have a dues of $25?
I
yeah,
can't answer.
$25.
They have a $25 membership dues fee.
I don't even know who you're talking about. I must start saying.
They're listening. They know who we're talking about. Don't worry about it.
No.
We'll let you know.
Yeah, I don't know. UAWD's
I'll put it to you this way, Don. When it's time to drop the hammer, we'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah, keep me informed, guys.
The UAWD.
Well,
Jim, the UAWD membership is $25 a year. And
oh, it's a year.
Yeah, $25 for the year.
I got an email inviting me to their meeting to say that it was at like 2 o'clock or some shit today somewhere. And if I wanted to go and have a voice that point blank said I had to pay in advance $50. They're having another same meeting somewhere the last Sunday of this month, which and if I want to go there and I want to talk, I got to pay another $50.
Well, maybe they were charging
there,
you extra.
I'm
going to
pay you
$50.
You're
going
to kiss my ass.
No.
The meeting today was open to anyone, and it was free unless you wanted to join and have a vote.
It said if you wanted to have a voice. It said if you wanted to have a voice and a possibility of a vote, you had to pay $50. Why would I want to go there and try and get brainwashed? Tell us. That's Rory Gamble all over again. Me.
No, it was open to anybody to have input, but the ones who were voting were the ones who were members. Anybody could have gone. It was free to have your input to say, hey, this is as a member, this is what we want our representatives to do. Or this is how we want the election process to go for the one member, one vote.
Well, some of it, I mean, don't even throw
away
or anything.
Well, they still make it sound like they're the only ones that have a voice in regards to us being able to say what we as individuals want with the monitor. I mean, you can't go to the monitor and talk to the monitor yourself. Only UAWD can do it?
No.
That's bullshit, too.
No, the reason why they were doing that yeah, no, anybody can go talk to the monitor and give their input. But there's more of an impact if a group of people are voicing the same opinion, that's going to have more impact. And that was the whole premise when I talked to one of my friends.
Okay.
So it almost sounds like we're dealing with special interest groups and you got to pay $50 to be a part of it.
No, it's if you wanted to join UAWD, it's $25 for the year. And as a member, they've got the same, from what I've seen, it's the same kind of organization within the union like the Teamsters have with the Teamsters for Democracy, where collectively there's a bunch of members that have the same ideals and that want to see reforms and changes in their union, and they do it together. And so to cover administration costs or, you know, whatever, whoever they hire a labor lawyer or whatever, that money goes to cover that for advice and things on, you know, how they go about their business.
You're basically describing a special interest group.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Correct.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm against the idea, okay? What I'm saying is that we're selling an idea that's existed since the political corruption started. All right? It isn't for the people by the people. It's for the people who have collectively raised enough money to send a full-time person to Washington to strong arm or promise or basically corrupt the politician into a certain thing as far as quid pro quo. So, and because me, Joe somebody, working as a UAW member at Ford plant, my voice, unless I pay $25 a year to a special interest group that's not saying that they're a special interest group, basically, this is the root problem of the corruption of our union collectively.
What corrupted our union was management's money in the form of joint funds. We had a relatively clean union until management more or less paid them to cooperate and do things that are not in our best interest.
Our interest. And then we turn it into special interest.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would hope that Mr. Holison would come on and maybe answer some questions. I reached out to him this afternoon, let him know we're going to have a show tonight. And, I mean, it's only fair. It really is that if people have some questions, that somebody from the UAWD might want to come and explain some of these questions we have.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I agree with that.
In all fairness, I mean, if you want to be a group that wants to represent people, then you need to stand in front of the people and ask them questions. That's only fair. Whether they're hard questions or soft questions, it doesn't matter.
And
you know,
especially
what I mean?
If you're asking them if they want to join and they have to pay a dues fee.
Right.
Or if they want to.
A membership fee.
Yeah, membership fee, same thing, dues, membership fees.
Yep.
Or if you want to speak at the whatever their conference or whatever, if you want your input and you want to speak, it costs you $50 to speak.
Yeah,
I mean, we
right.
need to understand that. You know, why is it? Is it like I'm going to a conference and I got to pay for the conference?
It's right. not like that at all. I was on the call
no.
here today. It didn't cost me a dime. Everybody had input, whether you were a member or not. I even commented. Everything was taken into consideration. And then those that were members got to vote on what the input was.
Well, what was the $50 for them?
There was no, I don't know anything about any $50. There was no $50, nothing. I didn't
I'm looking down. At it right now. It says Zara's VP for UAWD's upcoming event meetings. Build a platform for transform the UAW. These two meetings are chances for the Democratic build of the UAWD's platform to transform the UAW through resolutions we bring to the UAW convention in July. And proceeds will go to dramatically nominating candidates for the International Executive Board between these two meetings, January 9th, 2 p.m., and January 30th at 2 p.m.
Right.
They got my name here as Dogtoon, and then it says here that if I want to have a voice on this, I have to pay $50. I don't see nothing about a membership. It does say if I want to join, then they want $25 a year. But it says if I wanted to be here today and be able to talk as we are doing openly on this show for free,
okay.
I got to give them Joyce $50. So I don't know.
But if you got a group, it's that. Hold on. If you got a group and you're building like-minded people, it's going to cost money to run this kind of operation. It's going to cost money if you pick your delegates or whoever you want to run for this office or that. It's going to cost money. So
right.
Whichever way you look at it.
Oh, yes, it costs
right.
money.
But you're helping them build another caucus.
Right.
That's my point. You know, we've been battling this caucus for how many years? But now the idea is to, okay, let's pay to build a different caucus. And, yes, they're going to tell you whatever you need to get your money. That's just the American way. I'll lie to you just to, you know, shit, Don charges me $35 every month just so he can, I can come on to the show. Otherwise, he said I'm not allowed. But I pay that just so I can voice my opinion and demean him. But it's worth the $35. Telling you is that you are, what the letter that Jimmy got is basically somebody who wants to start another caucus. And I'm telling you, I mean, I'm only 50, and I'm not a political person. About who runs the country, because they're all going to run it into the ground. It's just, you know, whoever's agenda it fits in. But what I'm saying is that now we're going to build another caucus, and they want us to pay for it.
Well,
I mean, this is how it's looking.
313. Hold on. 313. I understand where you're coming from, but it's going to cost money. I don't care who you pick, who you're backing. It's going to cost them money, and you're going to have to contribute. I contribute to people in the plant to buy cards for their I think I gave to you, Scott. I think. I don't know if it was a waste of money, but I gave it to you, and I knew it was a waste of money, but no, I'm kidding, Scott.
I'm going to say this. Maybe we weren't successful at the last convention.
Let me get...
Because none of us made it in.
Nah.
But we didn't ask anyone for any money.
All
of us that were on the ticket together,
mm-hmm.
we pulled our monies together.
Right.
Okay?
Well,
we didn't ask everybody else for money.
Okay.
Okay, it was enough of us that for what we were going to do, we were able to do that. And that's what I'm kind of shying away from.
All right. Let me get Scott Holderson on. Scott, you are
good. I'm so happy.
And welcome, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Hey. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
Well, you're more than welcome. You know that.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what you're talking about a $50 fee. There was no $50 fee to get on the call today, even though, you know, we have expenses. We have, staff organizers that are helping us to set all this up. We've got the cost of the Zooms, the cost of the text service. You know, organizing, it takes a lot of effort, and it takes, takes some money. And, you know, that's why we have membership fees, and that's why we do fundraising drives. But, you know, there was no cost requirement to get on the meeting today. Now, the next meeting on January 30th, we're going to be making some decisions within our caucus. So that meeting is going to be for members only. And $25 a year to be a member of our organization is pretty cheap. But, you know, it's all of us working together to try and build a structure that's going to be able to be sustained. And Teamsters for a Democratic Union has been doing that for 30 or 40 years. They've made the Teamsters union into, a real democracy. In 2016, they were able to win 6 vice presidents and almost toppled Hoffa. It takes people working together and pulling their resources. Mike Cannon would tell you from New Directions when they were trying to reform the union back in the 80s and 90s that they were donating money. There wasn't a membership fee then, but they were donating big chunks of money to try and make it work.
Yeah, that's true.
One thing I'd like to say about these people in administrative caucuses around the country, they're shameless. They have no problem asking for money or demanding money from the people that benefit from them, like the appointees and et cetera. We need to wake up and realize that. One of the reasons people like us haven't gotten real far politically is we're not real good at organizing or at asking for money. It does take money to run an organization. We're not talking about a district committee man election here where you can print up a few flyers. It's going to take a lot of money to get our voice out there. But one thing that concerns me is in the 2020 election, in my local management and union banned campaigning. And I'm concerned that they won't try to pull this crap on us again and say that, because of COVID and the fear of it spreading, we're not going to allow campaigning.
Yeah, we had a hell of a time getting flyers for One Member, One Vote passed out. For the same reason. You know, we were kicked off of the parking lots at a couple of GM plants and one Ford plant.
Yeah.
And, you know, that made it difficult to let the membership know that there was even a referendum going on.
Well, that concern needs to get to the monitor, because the thing is, all the administrative people have to do to win an election for delegate is just shut down campaigning.
Yeah. Well, they also have, like you were talking about, Paul, the powerhouse of demanding, money in the form of donations. But, you know, let's be honest about it. They're kickbacks for getting staff jobs. from the administration caucus. And you, when Jones and Vance Pearson were sentenced, they had to relinquish, each of them had over $100,000 in their flower fund and
sure.
members' funds. So think about every single regional director, every single vice president, and the president and secretary
yep.
treasurer of the international union has money like that in a flower fund to use for a campaign.
And local leaders that are of that vein can go to all their appointees, all their committee men, all the committee men, and tell them, you better donate to this. Donnie Douglas, I worked at Pontiac Truck and Bus in the 1990s, and Donnie Douglas had the second largest political machine, second just International Union. That's what he did. They basically got money from everybody that was appointed or whatever to finance their campaigns. I don't like that.
Question for you. You talk about this shit, but on your side of the street, there seems to be a lot of nepotism right in your own camp. Do you want to talk on that? Because we really don't
sure.
support
nepotism. Sure. What exactly do you mean by nepotism?
Well, I'm talking about people that get relatives in, family members in, not one, not two, not three, but all over the plant. I mean, we're kind of trying to
yeah,
stop that shit.
Yeah, that's a big problem in our plant. Our plant chairman has his sister, his brother, his son, and his cousin all
right.
having appointed jobs.
Yeah.
Now, you know, getting people a referral, which, you know, that's how we staffed our last two shifts that were put on, was through the referral system. Getting people referrals is just common practice, and I think, you know, that happens in all the auto plants.
Yeah.
Well, if your dad is the chairman of a plant, you have as much right to a job as anybody else. You don't have any more right than anybody else, and that's the problem. I hired into Flint Truck and Bus in 1978, and, you know, I think they hired around 1,200 people that year, and nobody would have cared if the chairman's kid got hired. But when you get 30 or 40 people hired, and almost all of them are related somehow to union or management, that's a problem.
Yeah, it is. It's a big problem. And
I got somebody's whole turf working here at my plant.
Wait. Say that again, Carrie.
I said I got somebody from International's whole church working here at my plant at Dearborn Truck. Let's just say, hypothetically.
Yeah.
Is there any family members of UAWD that are getting paid by the dues that are paid?
No. No, none whatsoever. Our membership fees and donations all go towards, you know, printing out flyers. You know, we mailed postcards to 75,000 UAW members. We didn't have enough money to mail to more than that.
Is that public record, by the way?
I'm sorry, what?
Is that public record?
Public, right?
Your distribution
public
of
record?
Your
no,
distribution of funds,
not.
What you do with the money that you collect, is that public
no,
record?
It's not public record. It's not public record because, you know, we're not a public organization. You know, we're a private organization.
All right, so there's no way to check. You don't
no,
report
don't,
to anybody.
We don't have, no. What do you want to check? I mean. You know, you don't believe what I'm telling you?
No, I don't have to believe what you're telling me because I don't know you, all right? That's what I'm saying. So to gain credibility, you have to be transparent. And you, if you're not publicly releasing records of how you distribute funds, I mean, there's a check and balance to everything. And yeah, I'm not saying that you're a bad person or that you're an untrustworthy person. Is I don't know you, so I have. There's no way to build trust with you, just by your word.
Well, I understand that, we have trust within our organization, and we provide a financial report within our organization at our members only meetings. So, you know, that's one way to get access to those reports is to become a member, and then we'll give you the information. But, we're not required to make it public, and if we are, we will.
Okay. Is it audited by a reputable accounting firm, or is this all in-house?
All in-house. We've only been in existence for a little over a year.
Again, I'm not trying to beat you up or spit you out. All I'm asking is basic questions about legitimacy of what you do, how you operate, and that's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
because like I said,
we're just trying to figure it out as we go. You know, we're not some, you know, complicated organization where we're just auto workers and higher ed workers and UAW members that are trying to help make our union better.
I understand the basis of what you're trying to do. It's just that I'm not usually cynical, but my UAW was supposed to do the same thing. And we've all been burned. And we pay dues. We still pay dues to those who have burned us and continue to burn us. So that's why I'm trying to figure out how you're going to be different than my union.
Well, we're rank and file UAW members that are trying to make a difference. I don't know how to prove that to you.
Clean up your own local. You got rapes in your own local that are still pending, Scott. My God, what do you mean you don't know what to do? You're an ex-president, are you not? Or what were you, president there?
No, I was the vice president.
Acting like, okay. But you have rapes in that plan out there, do you not? That children were actually were brought into this world through them rapes, proven fact. And that hasn't even cleaned up there. And you're asking us what to do.
I don't have the details of any rape. And if there were rapes. No, wait a minute.
No,
you're making an accusation.
I see a bunch of people from the international staff that have came over to your side that I don't really. I think they're some pretty shady characters. And you're grabbing them and putting them
on. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Because I've already seen the case they've left. Let me finish and then I'll let you answer. But I've already seen the case that the Hammers and the other ones, the Thompsons, left in my mouth, and my brothers and sisters with plant closings because they got something better for them. Go ahead. Take it away, partner. It's yours.
Okay. First of all, if there are rapes in our plant, then that's a legal matter that needs to be taken up by the police. And, I can't verify it, and I can't make accusations without facts. But, you know, if there's an investigation and the police do that, then I think that's exactly what should be done, is there should be investigations into it. And I'm as disgusted as you are by the sexual harassment at our plant. And, you know, Ford's paid out millions of dollars in sexual harassment. They need to clean it up. You know, that's on the company to make sure that they have a harassment-free environment in the workplace.
And it's up to the union to protect us as well, is what Jimmy's trying to put across.
Some of those people that have been have been accused are some of our union officials. But I don't have the facts personally to pursue it. Nobody's come up to me and said, this happened to me, can you help me? Nobody.
Okay, so you not don't dispute person. That it happened, right?
I don't dispute that it happened. Ford paid out millions
okay,
of dollars.
Okay, then that's all the information you need. Now it's time for our union to act to protect. It's nothing to do with criminal. This is so this goes preventative. Now you're acting like your hands are tied. They're not tied. All right.
Wait.
You have the ability to do something.
Hold on.
What am I supposed to do?
What?
What exactly am I supposed to do as a rank and file union member?
Protect your union members. Whatever you got
to
do.
I do the best that I can to do that, but I need evidence. I need a paper.
No, you're not prosecuting anything. You don't need evidence. You need to make sure that steps are in place and people are protected. That's all. You don't need to prosecute anybody. That's not your job. You're right. That's what the police are for. All right?
Okay, I'm waiting. What else do I need to do?
Scott?
Not my job. It's yours.
Okay.
Okay. Scotty,
I just want to tell you, I just want to say to you that I appreciate you breaking down some of the confusion that we had because we weren't sure about things. One of the things I'd like to know, are you a 501c?
We're applying for that.
Okay.
We haven't gotten approval yet. So, you know, once we get approval, then there will be, a 990 form to fill out, and that will be
uh-huh.
public record. But
okay.
we don't have approval for that yet.
Okay.
And it costs money to apply for that.
Mm-hmm.
Costs
money to do everything, really.
yeah, unfortunately
well,
it does.
Fact. It does. It sure does.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed all of that. I was talking to my son, so I don't know exactly. I did hear screaming through my headphones or talking loud. I know 313 is at work, so that's why he was talking loud.
Right.
As far as UAWD goes, on their behalf, I'd like to say, I don't know any of them, but I know this, when you go up against international, you have a target on your back. They're nasty people up there. You know, they took out or bought off one by one all the New Directions leaders in the 1990s. They're nasty people.
Yeah.
I just applaud anybody who'll go up against them.
Yeah,
you know,
appreciate that. There's got to be better people than the ones that are there now.
Oh, yeah.
And having dealt with several members of UAWD, you know, I've had lots of help. I've called up Scott a couple of times for assistance on union matters, and he's always been there, both Scott Hudelson and Scott Shingledecker. Have both helped. I talk pretty regular with another gentleman associated with UAWD, one of the founding members, and he's a wonderful guy whose only concern is the membership. I've never seen somebody so driven to do what's right for his fellow brother.
Yeah.
I don't know everyone associated with UAWD, but I've never seen or felt any forcing or hiding of any information. Everybody that I've dealt with has always been very open and honest. And I appreciate that, and I absolutely support that when you've got just regular workers coming together to try to make a difference. And like Paul said, going against the international, you put a target on your back. That says something.
And let me jump in for a second, JJ. Let me just say, there's going to be more than two, three, four groups of people. I think we all want the same thing. I believe we want the same thing.
Right.
And it's just how we get there is going to be the question. How are we going to get there? But I believe everybody wants the same exact thing.
I agree with that.
Yeah. You're going to, and any large organization is going to attract a few turds here and there. People that are self-centered. You know, we just got to live with that. People that are self-centered gravitate where the power is. If it's with an administrative caucus, they'll go there. If UAWD becomes the power, they want to associate with it.
Yeah.
And, hopefully, the UAWD caucus will be self-cleansing. Won't take the feds to clean them up. But anyway, it's been a pleasure meeting with everybody again. I got to say goodnight and spend some time with my lovely Flower. I'll see you later.
Okay.
Good night, Paul.
Good night, Paul.
Good night, Paul.
Scott,
go ahead.
Are there any of your the people that are founders or administrators? I don't know how to call your caucus right now.
We have a steering committee.
Okay, your steering committee. Are any of them working at with the international level or have an appointed position, or are any of them presidents or chairmen of the units or representatives?
We have, Andrew is a trustee.
Okay.
Which is 5118. That's a Harvard graduate student local. Martha Gravatt is retired now, but she was a trustee at her local. But she's not currently. And she's a delegate. Yeah. Mike Cannon was a former international rep. And he was the acting assistant director for Jerry Tucker when Tucker was the director for Region 5 for a few short months, after he won the NLRB rerun of the convention,
right,
or the election for
Region
5.
Right, we know Tucker's history. Uh-huh.
Yep, well, Cannon was his right-hand man, and he's been a huge asset to UAWD. That's about the only ones that are currently officers that Chris Budnick is alternate committeeman in Local 862.
Okay.
But those are the only ones that currently have any officer positions. I'm rank and file right now, although I'm
right.
A delegate still until the next delegate election, and I hope to be a delegate again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you, Scott.
Yes,
you're welcome.
You in to, yes, answering some questions. I try to keep
like
this as respectful as we can. It's like Don said, it's a common goal that we're all looking forward to going to, and we have to figure out how we all can play a part of this puzzle. You know what I mean? Hello?
Well, we all have to work together to build back our union and rid it of corruption. And you know, we've You know, we started down that road back at the end of 2019 with the Article 30 charge that Chris Budnick got approved at his local, and then we, pushed it further and had six locals on board before the International Executive Board stepped in and avoided the embarrassment of the membership filing the charges for a trial against Jones and Pearson.
Right.
But it's going to take all of us working together to make our union better. It's not going to, get better on its own. You know, it's going to take all of us.
Right. And everybody should be actively involved. And before you come on, we told people you need to run for constitutional delegate. It's imperative that the working men and women, our brothers and sisters off the floor, go to the Constitutional Convention instead of appointed or elected officials.
Absolutely.
Because we need, the workers' voice needs to be heard at the convention. The workers' voice need to be heard come contract time, period.
Yeah, a lot of offices are just too easy to manipulate for the administration caucus to manipulate because, they can hold, product and grievances over their head.
Right.
That's why it's good to get rank and file members elected as delegates.
Absolutely. And that puts that power back onto the membership, hopefully, instead of a select few that have just been handing the baton off to the next predecessor to continue what they're doing, right?
Yeah, but the problem is when officers run and, they have the name recognition that a lot of rank and file don't. So,
right.
You have to get out there early. You have to, put newsletters out and pool your resources to pass out newsletters to your coworkers so that you can get your group of rank-and-file candidates elected. You have to get your name out there.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And you're going up against... Oh. We are all going up against a very well-oiled machine.
The thing that I ran up against was lack of knowledge. So you also have to educate. You've got to start early, and you've got to educate the members on what the constitutional delegates do, how important it is. And let them know that the election's coming up because a lot of locals like to keep that shit hidden.
True. That's very true.
That's where those leaflets and flyers come in. That's an educational material and conversation starters.
Yep.
Right. I think a lot of elections start like in April and May. For constitutional delegate?
Yeah, probably. Call letter has to go out no later than the end of April. So, you could be seeing some in March, but a lot of them are going to happen in April and May.
Right. I think historically ours has been around May. I think, if I remember right, in our local.
Well, they have moved the convention back a month, so that gives gives a little more lead time to organize for delegate elections, but not
right.
much, just one more month.
Right. And I know of like in our area right now, there's been a spike in the COVID. And our facility is having a hard time running as it is right now because of the spike. So that makes things a little more difficult as far as trying to campaign or get that information out.
I guess my thought would be word of mouth. Use the social platforms that we have if you're so interested and get your name out there. I mean, that's just one way of doing it, right?
Yeah, that's just one way, though. And, you know, you can't discount the flyers because there are a lot of people that are on social media only to be social, right?
Right.
You know, they're not there to get educated. They're there to converse with family and friends. And, yeah, they might pop in once in a while to a union website. But overall, you know, they're there for their social interaction. So, you know, the flyers in the plants, you know, even if you're under COVID protocols, dropping them on tables or something so that
Scott,
members can get them and make it their lunch.
Excuse me, Scott, but that's where Paul was trying to explain to these people earlier. Our local came into agreement with our management that we could no longer pass out handbills, we couldn't campaign, we couldn't do none of that. How the hell can you have a fair election? We had an election through that process, and hell, it was incumbent, you know, one right. Well, you know that game.
Yep. And, you know, we're making the case to the monitor that, you know, that needs to be in the election rules to allow for passing out flyers at the plant gates for equal access. You know, it's just has to happen in order to have fair elections. So,
well,
you know,
sorry,
we're making that case. I don't know whether we're going to win that case, but, you know, we're going to make the case.
This is where I differ in that. Why the hell was my president of my union for allowing management to step in and tell me how I'm going to run my election for my union of our officers? They let management come in and say how we were going to elect our officers, people. That's unjust.
It is. But it's also a rigged system, and maybe the president of the union had something to gain by not allowing any opponents to campaign against them.
Here.
So, you know, that's where somebody, you know, I've had this similar situation at my local. You know, when I ran for president and I lost, I got removed from every committee. You know, I was the editor of the newspaper for 10 years. Now we don't have a newspaper because I got removed and nobody was willing to take that task up.
That was a way to silence you.
Yeah, well, they can try.
You know, but...
I can't be silent.
Sometimes maybe you do a paper under another, you know, do another way.
Oh, yeah, it gave me more time to organize for the one-member, one-vote and to try and build the UAWD to... you know, something that can actually compete for against the administration caucus. So that's all it did. It gave me more time that I would have been devoting to the newspaper. So I put it to good use.
All I could do is hope and pray that we get more delegates from the floor and from the retiree pool that are not a part of the administration caucus.
Well, we're not hoping and praying. We're organizing.
Well, you can organize, okay? I'm hoping and praying.
Okay.
Because I'm going to tell you, that goes along with organizing, but you don't have to. You don't have to believe that, but it does. Because, as I said before in 2018, you can't go up against the administration caucus by yourself. I already know that.
Yeah.
I already know that.
You know, Adrian, every bit helps.
Yeah.
Every bit always helps.
I know it does. Yeah. But I wish I wish you well. And like I said, I really appreciate you being on the show to break down and show and tell us, you know, what's really going on with UAWD and what UAWD is about. And to get that funding thing out the way so that we understand that.
Yeah, I'm happy to get on. I can't do it every Sunday, but, I'm happy to get on when I have the time.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome anytime you want to, Scott. You know that.
Yes, thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Thank you. You've always been very welcoming to me, and I really appreciate it.
Well,
we'll give you hell. Now you know that. We'll ask you some tough questions.
I'll answer your tough questions every time.
Yes, you've done
the best,
quite
do
well
the best
this
I
evening.
Can to answer them. Some of them I just don't have answers for. But
yeah.
If I got answers, I'll give them to you.
Yeah. And then if you don't have an answer today, maybe you'll have one next week. You can come back and say, oh, I found out what this was about.
Yeah. Yep, that worked.
Mm-hmm.
That works. That sounds good. Yeah, Scott, anytime you need to come on, you just jump on in, buddy. You're more than welcome.
All right. Well, thank you for the open invitation, and I'll take you up on that.
Okay. No problem.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself, okay? And family, keep
all right.
Family
you all have
safe.
A good night.
You too.
You too.
Night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 313 was coming off like an ex-wife. What the hell? I was talking to my son and all this noise is coming through my headphones. I said, 313, somebody pushed his buttons.
it is what it is. I mean, Jimmy started and I ran with it.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. You just sounded like my ex-wife, that's all. You know.
You know some of the truth to some of the rumor. Now, the rape cases, that's all public record. Anybody can look up what I was talking about. But, hell, that's all been decided already in court. It's just I wasn't going to go there with it. I mean, I know what happened. Like I said, it's public record. Look it up. It's local. What is that, 551, I believe, there in Chicago. But anyway, and...
Yes, it's 551.
Right. I was curious. So like I said, I want to know about the people that left this the administration caucus and now ran over there because they see the new up and growing caucus, let's say, and they jumped onto that ship. I don't want any of them ass clowns in the new team, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, that's what we were trying to find out.
You said four of them are on the board. And I agree. It takes all kinds of money to do what needs to be done, and we must. Scott Shingledecker is correct. We're going against a finely tuned, well-tuned machine. That also, remember this, people, they get to make all the rules. It's their election. Go ahead, Scott. Go ahead, Adrian.
Yeah.
Well, that's
unfortunate.
For delegates are going to be voting on and establishing the new rules. So that's why it's going to be important that the rank and file members run for delegate so that we on the floor who do all the work every day, that grade the papers, that do all that, we're the ones that have a say. So we really need some people to think hard about it and step on up and be a part of history. This is our opportunity for the workers, all the workers, no matter where you come from, to take part in this historical change. It's quite an honor. So
that includes people that are not just currently in the auto workers and agricultural and aerospace. You know, I was talking about the teachers unions and the students and
absolutely
state workers, all the UAW members and these locals, that you have a say at the constitutional convention that you need to represent your local from wherever you're at the convention.
Absolutely.
I agree.
It can be challenging. Some of these locals are small and they supposedly can't afford to send delegates. I think at that point, I think that the international should make sure that every delegate has a way to get to the convention. That's my opinion.
100%, absolutely. Can't
You're
be
breaking up whoever's
union.
Trying to talk.
Well, I'm sorry. It can't be a true democratic
Hello?
Union. Can you hear me? Can
Say
you
it
hear
again.
Me?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It can't be a true democratic union if all members aren't represented. I agree with you 100%. There should be never, ever, ever be any local left behind because they can't afford to send members.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Probably one set of their golf clubs they bought probably could send one of those locals that couldn't afford to come. Fly them out. Our old union, our old president, vice president, buying
Actually,
golf
it
clubs.
Should be mandatory. It should be mandatory that all delegates from all locals should have to attend.
And if
and
they can't,
a local to say that they can't afford it, how are you a local?
Right.
What are you doing with the money that you can't afford to send the delegates to the convention?
Well, if the convention was held at Black Lake and not somewhere luxurious, they should be able to afford them.
Been
right.
held in Detroit the last two, right?
Yeah, but it's been at Vegas. It's been in Vegas. It's been other
yeah.
places. They've never, to my knowledge, ever held the conventions at Black Lake. And even if it's
no.
at Black Lake, people
no.
still have to get there. They're coming from all over the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't you think that place is big enough for it to hold that convention, I would say?
No.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so either. And the other part of that, now, some delegates may be traveling with their families. That
right.
that's not our expense. That's the delegates' expense. It may not be enough room for that either. You know, you have a lot of single parents, and their children may have to come with them.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, Adrian?
Yes?
You know, when it comes to our dues, the majority of our dues get sent to the international.
Correct.
So for locals that only have a few hundred people,
right?
And if their wages are $15, $16 an hour, that's not a whole lot of money to keep the lights on the local and to pay the rent for the local and
pay
that. The expense. So, it, you
Matter
know,
fact,
it might
I
not
said
be...
it on another show. I'm the one that said it on the other, started this on another on the show sometime back, that the
right.
international should pay for them.
Yeah.
Right.
If the
well,
local
the
can't afford it, the international should pay for them.
Well, that and the international shouldn't be taking so much of their dues money either.
Well, that's true, too. That's true.
You know, it should be based on the number of people that you have, not the flat percentage,
mm-hmm.
So that a small local can't afford to properly operate and participate in all the functions of the UAW.
Well, maybe through our one member, one vote, and we vote in a different regime, Maybe they'll get that straightened out for us.
And another thing, too, is that what our international likes to do, the brilliant people that they are, they're, I've seen it here with my old local, and getting to know some of the people in the area that are UAW that live close to me, but have to travel an hour or more from their plant to get to the local that represents them.
Yeah, I've heard about that too.
Yeah, so their logistical planning
mm-hmm.
on who's in what local, I believe they do that intentionally to maintain control
mm-hmm.
of the locals.
That is a way to control. But they've also went outside of where they should have went, and they keep doing it. Now, don't get me wrong. Everyone that wants to be in a union should be in a union, but they should be in their proper union.
Right.
Okay? This is the United right. Auto Workers Aerospace and Agriculture, and we have went far out there into other fields.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so what we have in there currently, what do they know about those other fields? They don't even have true vice presidents for the graduate students. How are you negotiating for them? Oh, I forgot. You pick somebody to be with you on that side.
Well, you know, here at Chrysler, first General Motors.
Before you go on, why aren't graduate students with the teachers' unions? See, be suited for what you're supposed to be.
I understand what you're saying, but, you mm-hmm. know, we're stuck with sellout Cindy Estrada, who's never worked in a Chrysler plant or any auto
GM
plant.
GM either. She's never worked in a plant.
Right.
And sell out Cindy's representing us. So.
Mm-hmm. I want
right.
her out. I definitely want her out. I don't care if nobody else goes. She got to go. She ain't never worked nothing within none of that. None of our wheel. She has
That's
never
right.
worked. She
That's
got
right.
to go.
How can you be a representative for labor, right?
Right.
When you negotiate a $28 an hour job to a $15 an hour contracted out job and say that $15 an hour is good pay, I'm sorry, you don't support labor when you're giving up wages.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. taking a pay raise at the same time.
Oh, yeah, 31% raise.
Yeah.
That's a nice raise.
So the show is over. We're into overtime, folks. So.
Oh.
I know. So I'm going to go rest up. Uh-oh, I hear music in the background. What's
well,
that?
I wanted to say thank you to everyone that prayed for my family. They made it to Iowa safely.
Well, good.
And, of course, it took them 14 hours to get home from Iowa, but they made it home safely.
Well, that's good. That's good. We were wondering about that this morning.
Yeah, I ain't had but 2 hours of sleep.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, because I was on pins and needles. And I will be calling into the show tomorrow because I have to thank everybody there.
Oh, okay.
Especially Gene.
Oh, yeah.
Because Gene did mention about ice.
Yes, she did.
On
she
the road.
And
my daughter
up.
Said it was really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And
yeah.
Carrie, if you're not doing anything and you want to hear my voice tomorrow night, you can call in too at 9 o'clock. 313 you can call in. And JJ,
no,
I know
you don't want me to, because I ain't paying the extra $35 to talk on that show too.
Hey, by the way, you guys, well, over the holidays, they my rate up on this damn show. And then when 313 mentioned that he wanted to give me some money, I said, hell, I ain't going to argue with him.
I don't remember me volunteering anything. I think it was a direct threat.
One said $35 or $39. It's not enough, but, you know, that'll cut into the bill. I appreciate that, too, 313.
I don't know who Bill is, and I don't know why you're cutting him. Yeah, is that some fetish that you don't know about?
You piece of
out of all the other fetishes Don has, now he's in the cutting.
I like this. There's nothing we're wrong with it.
We're gonna need
that.
To have a psych show next.
Boy, shit.
Well, I'm gonna call in. Tomorrow, Don, because I'm really interested to hear what Joe's got to say.
Oh, about the COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is definitely against. He hasn't got the shots at all. He doesn't believe in them. I had to get them because my wife, my sister-in-law owns a assisted living, and my wife works there. And so she had to get them. And so I said, well, I'll get them too. I don't sure wouldn't want to get an old person, older person, anything just in case.
Right.
The truth is, Don isn't married. He's actually talking about his nurse because he lives in assisted living.
And I appreciate you, son of a... You sorry, Beth.
Well, on that note, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody.
Yeah.
Good night. Up.
Me with all these girls over here. no,
all
I don't
right,
even...
God, stay out of the field and I hope you feel better.
All right, yeah.
So do I. So do
JJ.
I.
Call in, JJ, and we'll see what Joe's got planned for us tomorrow night. Cause,
yeah.
Sure, we should be hearing something from the, I'm going to listen to
Supreme
Court. Supreme Court, what they got going on tomorrow. We'll see what's going on, and hopefully they'll be in deliberations tomorrow over this.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to come out soon with whatever the decision is. They're not going to wait.
Right.
Right.
Okay. All right. 313, you can call in too. I won't pick up, but if I see your number, I'll just let you sit there on hold for the rest for the hour.
I'm going to have to get a burner just to participate.
I know damn well the next week you won't get on either. you prick is what you are.
Don't do my brother like that.
I know.
Good night, everybody.
Jimmy,
good night.
Call in too.
Oh,
you're welcome too, also, Jimmy. Jimmy says he's pulling in every time.
Just
uh-oh.
Be good, Don.
You guys
all right.
Have a safe
good
week.
Night,
and stay safe.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Good night, everybody.